Becoming a member at Navy Federal Credit Union could help you to earn more and save more. Their certificate options could earn you more than standard savings accounts with competitive rates.
Not all financial institutions offer you as many choices for savings options as Navy Federal does. For example, you can start your savings journey with a low minimum deposit, add money at any time, and watch your savings grow. Thanks to flexible terms, you can use Navy Federal savings options for all kinds of goals, short or long term. Navy Federal also offers equity loan options to help you get the funds you need to consolidate high interest debt, work on home improvements, or cover any of life's big expenses.
To learn more, visit NavyFederal.org. At Navy Federal, their members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender, membership required. Terms and conditions apply, loan subject to approval. In recent weeks, we've really focused on some ways that listeners can boost their income. So whether that's through starting your own side business and growing your network like Hala talked about, or when we talked with local realtor Alan about diving into investing in real estate, well, what better way to test the waters? While you are away, your home could also earn extra income.
That's right. Your empty space could be an Airbnb while you're traveling, because that's all you need to become an Airbnb host. It's a lot easier than you think, and you don't need to Airbnb your entire house. You could just host your extra spare room. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're really choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers.
Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies.
Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're discussing internet data caps, apps that save you money, and home renovation payback.
When you said home renovation payback, it makes me think of like your wife paying you back for maybe trying to attempt a DIY home project.
Makes me think of that Mel Gibson movie, Payback.
Oh, I don't think I ever saw that one.
I don't know if I did either, but I think it was in a movie called Payback. Now I'm second guessing myself.
It sounds like a movie from the early aughts that was mediocre.
Yeah, true.
That's right. So this is a Friday Flight episode. This is where we are going to cover a lot of different stories that we came across this week, buddy, that you and I, that we found interesting because they, in one way or the other, affect our personal finances. Before we get to those stories, dude, it has been so cold.
Bitterly cold.
In lots of parts of the country, it's been crazy cold. There's like the polar vortex up in the Northeast. And even down here in Atlanta, our heat has been running virtually like nonstop. We've got a gas furnace. And what that also means is the air inside of our house has been crazy dry. Hopefully this doesn't seem too pedestrian, but I think a lot of times folks are thinking, oh my gosh, my skin is so dry. The house is so dry. Let's go buy a humidifier. Here's the thing. If you have an Instant Pot, you don't need a humidifier because you already have one.
Oh, Instant Pot hack time. Let's do this.
Yeah, exactly. And so what we've been doing, we fill the thing up with water, take the lid off, and we just hit the saute button, which puts it on a 30-minute timer, and it runs as hot as it can. And it'll boil the water, and it releases a ton of moisture into the house, man. Like, we used to have a humidifier, but it was such a pain in the butt. It was a cool mist. I don't know. Maybe those are harder to refill than some of the other ones. They're supposed to be safer for the kids since it was on the ground. But, like, taking the jug, unscrewing the cap, filling it up in the bathtub, making sure that the paper air filter that it goes through isn't moldy because it's, you know, it's wet and it sits there and it's a breeding ground for mold and other things like that, which is like the opposite of what you want, right?
Yeah.
Like if you're trying to improve the air quality in your home, having a moldy air filter that's just pumping spores into your house is the exact opposite of what you're looking for. So yeah, I wanted to mention that because if you already have an Instant Pot, it's virtually free. Obviously, you're paying for, you know, the cost of electricity, but you don't have to go out there and buy something new.
There you go. I like it, man. I like using what you've already got. It's less clutter. Like, you know, those
Humidifiers. Oh, yeah.
I know, too, like the ones that like are shaped like elephants and stuff like that. We had one of those when the kids were little. Then they would wrestle it and, you know, break the trunk, stuff like that. So I think, yeah, having an Instant Pot on a countertop makes more sense. And then, you know what? Once you've humidified your house, you can cook your chicken.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and here, the other thing too, folks will be like, well, why don't you just boil a pot of water? Like, you've got a stove, right? Well, the thing is, I feel less comfortable about leaving the stove on unmonitored, and with, you know, with the saute button, it's on a 30-minute timer, and so it will automatically cut off. And so literally, if I walk by and it's not running, I'll hit it, but it causes me to look into the pot, make sure there's enough water in there, because you don't want it obviously running if there's no water in there, because that'll, you know, might cause a fire or something like that. So maybe we should put a little disclaimer out there. Don't leave boiling pots of water, or technically don't even leave your Instant Pot if you're not certain that it has enough water in it.
Be careful All right, let's move on to the Friday Flight Mat stories we found interesting this week that pertain to people's personal finances. There's a bunch of stuff this week that I think is going to be helpful to folks out there, and one thing we saw this week was that demand for life insurance has been up in a big way in the pandemic, especially for folks who are under the age of 45. So a lot of younger people finally doing what they should have done a while back, probably maybe years ago. You've been putting it off, and a lot of people decided, you know what, I'm not going to put it off anymore. It's really important. And there was an 8% bump in life insurance applications for folks 45 and younger last year. One insurance company reported to the Wall Street Journal that they had a 25% surge for buyers ages 40 and under.
Well, that is huge.
Yeah, that's great, right? Like, and just kind of an interesting tidbit that, you know, folks in this age range of 40 and under are much less likely to die from COVID than folks twice their age, of course, right? We've seen just a massive percentage of the deaths of COVID, sadly, are in people 80 and over. But the pandemic isn't actually even the reason to buy life insurance. It's all the other possible things that could happen to you, leaving your family without your income. So that is the reason to get life insurance, to replace your income. And if you haven't done it, well, increasingly your peers have. And so it's worth thinking about. It's worth looking into.
Yeah, whatever works though, right? You know, if a pandemic causes you to rethink, oh, I still don't have term life insurance set up, that's something I should do, then I guess that's one slight positive of a pandemic, right?
Yeah.
In fact, too, I mean, people have a lot more time, you know, like if they're not commuting, folks aren't going on vacations, they're probably like, okay, maybe I need to get my financial house in order a little bit. I've got more time. Like, if I'm not going to do it now, when am I going to do it?
Yeah.
Because I'm sure as heck not going to do it once everything's back open. Because we're going to party. You know?
Right. Yeah. It's like, all right, I'll get my financial chores done now. And I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. But what you said about the, you know, auto accident fatalities is true, man. If you look at the data from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, there are way more deaths due to automobile accidents than from getting COVID if you're under the age of 40. And the thing is, man, term life is so dang cheap that if you haven't made the purchase, you should really look into getting a quote. If you have people depending on you, if you have a family, if you have kids, and also too, if you are the stay-at-home partner who takes care of the kids. And so be sure to shop around. And Policy Genius is a great place to do that. We've got an article all about shopping for life insurance up on the site, and we'll make sure to link to that in our show notes.
Yeah, and life insurance, yeah, the prices for those policies have fallen during the pandemic. And also too, it's worth mentioning that car insurance prices fell during the pandemic last year with fewer people driving and fewer accidents. And from the stats, it looks like the average price of a car insurance policy dropped somewhere between 2 and 4%. And maybe your insurer reached out and said, hey, we're going to throw you a bone. You're going to save $25 this year on your car insurance policy.
It makes you feel good about the company. I mean, we received a $38 check, and I was like, okay, yeah, this is better than nothing.
Yeah, exactly. No, and it is. It is better than nothing, and it's good. But it also is important to mention that the biggest savings you're going to get when it comes to what you pay for car insurance is by shopping around, not by taking that 2, 3, 4% cut in your insurance rate from your current provider, but by making a couple phone calls, talking to an independent broker where you live, shopping with a few different companies to see if you can get the same coverage, but for maybe 20% less. I mean, you really can save quite a bit if you shop instead of staying put where you are.
Yeah, those companies, man, the insurance companies are smart. They know that if they just send you a little bit of money, that will placate you. You know? You're like, okay, I feel comfortable here.
Oh, they're loyal to me. I'm going to stay loyal.
They're taking care of me. Oh, this is great. But yeah, if you haven't maybe even ever shopped your insurance around before, I mean, you're looking looking at hundreds of dollars worth of savings, not only annually, but maybe even every 6 months. And dude, speaking of shopping, you might need to shop your internet or your cable bill because the price is on the rise. The LA Times reports that bills have been and will continue to go up if you do business with a cable or a phone company. Some folks out there are going to pay $100 or more this year for the same package that they've had for years now.
Yeah, internet bills too are seeing more price hikes because fewer folks are paying for that traditional cable TV package. They're getting internet only. And so the internet providers are like, yeah, we need to squeeze some more money out of these,
yeah,
out of these customers.
Squeeze.
Yeah, exactly. They're used to people buying the bundle. And that's where they made a bundle is when you did that. And on top of that, too, the major internet providers are reinstituting data caps. Now, those aren't going to trip up most folks, but Comcast is restricting usage if your family goes over 1.2 terabytes of data in a month. And it's kind of hard to know what that is. It's a lot of data, I'll say.
Yeah,
it's quite a bit. But apparently up to 5% of users are running into this problem, especially as we're talking about working from home, lots of Zoom calls, kids streaming more content. And if you have a family where everybody is doing a lot of video stuff, you could run up against this data cap. Other data caps too start as low as 150 gigs of usage in a month, which is far easier for families to hit. And so, yeah, it's a rough time to have data caps imposed on you. And it's something to be aware of. And if you do get your bill in the mail and it's more than you planned on, it's probably because you went over a data cap. And it becomes even more important to kind of monitor your usage throughout the month so you don't bump up against that.
Yeah, so keep an eye out for those changes in the coming months. And one of the other, I think, bandwidth hogs, Joel, that I just thought of too, are the high-definition cameras that we have set up in our homes.
Oh, yeah.
You sure. know, like a Nest Cam. You know, like if you have that set to like the highest setting, like 1080, which, I mean, that's what I want. Like if I'm going to want to see like how my kid hit the other kid, I want to be able to see all the details, which is why we have that set up.
Because that's better. Let's be honest. That's better than entertainment you're going to get on a streaming service.
I need to know what actually went down. And the cameras really help with that. But when you're streaming like that in HD, I mean, you can run up to like 300 to 400 gigs worth of data streaming a month just on one of those cameras.
Wow.
And so that's definitely something to be aware of. I think a lot of folks who might be hitting some of those upper caps might be households where they have multiple cameras like that set up.
And those cameras are getting so cheap, people are putting them in every room.
Yes.
Understandably
yeah.
so.
Yeah, exactly. But when it comes to your actual internet service providers, unfortunately, there is not a ton of competition, right? You probably only have a couple of options. But be sure to pit those options against each other. You know, reach out to the other internet company that serves your neighborhood and see if you can get a better deal for service. And reach out to your current internet provider via social media. Their Twitter teams do a great job, and that's where you're most likely to snag a discount for a few months or even a whole year of service. One of the other options out there, too, is at-home 5G service. T-Mobile has this $50 a month offering that could work great for some of you out there. It might be worth a shot if you see your internet bill skyrocket in the coming months.
Yeah, and hopefully in the coming years, we're going to have more and more ISP options as 5G rolls out. Maybe more cell phone providers are going to offer that at a reasonable rate. And you're going to be able to use it for at-home internet and use it on the go-to. But for right now, we're still kind of stuck in a duopoly sort of system where it's hard to get good prices
yeah.
or good customer service in that system.
Who are you with, Comcast or AT&T?
Right.
At least around here, it's one of those two options.
That's it. Yeah. All right. And let's talk about streaming entertainment too, Matt. An interesting new study reveals that people are using streaming services exactly the way you and I would recommend them to. Deloitte reports that 46% of folks they surveyed have canceled at least one streaming service in the past 6 months. And 62% said that it was because they finished a show or a movie that they signed up to see. And now that they've watched maybe that full season of The Queen's Gambit or the first season of Ted Lasso.
Yeah, that's me.
or whatever it is, they're bailing. They're out. They're done. And, you know, I think we're going to see more of this as there are just more and more streaming services proliferating for us to choose from. And as the rates continue to creep up.
Yeah, I know we definitely are. Even just a $1 rise in monthly subscription costs, it doesn't seem like that much. But, you know, when all of the streaming services bump up that monthly cost, it adds up. And we've got to be, you know, we've got to choose which ones we're going to continue using. And we, you know, we've mentioned this before, man, but don't forget to create a calendar reminder to cancel a free trial if you do start one. Set that calendar event, set multiple alerts. that way, if you happen to be somewhere and you can't do it there on the spot, that there's going to be another alarm in 3 hours.
Oh, yeah. I'm a classic two reminder guy.
I've done it times. Have you?
Yeah.
Sometimes in the past, I've done it with like three or four. It's just like, kind of ridiculous. It's like constantly prepping me for the event that I need to do tomorrow. You know?
Right.
And then also, don't forget to go through the list of services you currently subscribe to, you know, and like just ask yourself, can you ditch ditch one or two of these, you know, these services or these programs or these memberships that you may not be taking full advantage of. Because if you can, like, obviously that's another way you can save money. This is, of course, not a great way for, this is not great for the streaming services themselves, you know, but, you know, we need to be shrewd consumers ourselves and make sure that we're doing the best to preserve our own money.
Yeah, and oftentimes we're setting that subscription in motion and then we're not touching it, even if we're not watching the stuff. And so, yeah, you got to pay attention to that. And don't be afraid to cancel, man. I mean, that's...
you shouldn't feel bad for Netflix.
No.
Netflix is doing fine.
They're going to be okay, you know? Yeah. Don't worry about Netflix.
Their Q4 earnings were like the highest they have ever seen. It's just insane the number of people who are signing up for all the services.
Yeah. They're going to be okay even if you leave. And also, too, if you haven't set aside time to sit down and take an axe to some of the subscriptions that you have, the recurring subscriptions in your life, there's good news if you use Mint. According to Fast Company, Mint is getting some updates and it'll now automatically track subscription costs and it will alert users of any rate hikes, which is a nice feature, right? It's pretty cool, especially since it seemed like there hadn't been much innovation with Mint in the previous years. I still like it. I still use Mint. I think it's a solid way to track my spending and to see everything like on this dashboard in one place. But yeah, it's been a long time coming for Mint to kind of up their game and make it even better, because there are some other apps out there doing similar or potentially better stuff, but I'm glad to see this feature being implemented.
Yeah, it was getting a little long in the tooth, like the farmers like to say, I think. So yeah, check out Mint if you are looking for sort of like an all-in-one spot to handle your personal finances. But you know, if you're just looking for an app to help cut back on your subscriptions and your bills, there are a lot of options out there. There's Do Not Pay, which is an app that you and I came across. It considers itself quote-unquote the world's first robot lawyer, which will do things like contest parking tickets. They'll help fix customer service issues for you, things like that, which is pretty cool. And there's also apps out there too, like Truebill or Trim, which help you to easily see what you're spending every month. And they'll even cancel or renegotiate a better deal on a particular service. You know, it's worth noting that some are completely free, whereas others, you know, might cost a small fee or will even take a commission if they're able to negotiate a better price for you.
Yeah, and while, you know, Matt and I would rather see you manually go through your monthly statements, make the cuts yourself, or negotiate a bill down on your own, using these apps could still make sense for you, even if it costs you a little bit of money. We'd rather see you save $50 or $250 every month by cutting recurring expenses, by negotiating those bills down, even if it means you're paying a few bucks more to one of these apps to do so, if it means that the job's actually going to get done. Because I think sometimes that's the problem, Matt. It's inertia bias. We're unlikely to take the action. And sometimes if there's a really, really easy way, even if we don't realize the full benefit of the savings, if there's a really easy way to make it happen, then it is a win-win to use one of these apps to help us make that happen.
That's right, man. All right, we've got several more stories that we want to get to after the break, including, of course, our ludicrous headline of the week. And we've got, too, some updated numbers from the Fed regarding net worth. So we'll be talking about maybe how you stack up, and we'll get to all those stories right after this break.
Kachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics, and in other words, everything your body craves to feel your best. This is where Kachava really earns their 52,000 plus five-star reviews. It tastes amazing. It's creamy and smooth with just water, and it comes in five delicious flavors. You can choose from chocolate, vanilla, chai, matcha, and coconut acai. Kachava is offering How to Money listeners 10% off for a limited time. I've been using Kachava in breakfast smoothies in the morning recently. It's just so nice to pack in a bunch of nutrients early in the AM in a way that's satisfying and energizing. So if you want to optimize your breakfast, your workout shake, be sure to check out Kachava. Just go to kachava.com/howtomoney. That's spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A, and get 10% off your first order. That's kachava.com/howtomoney. Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So, if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. They are committed to high ethical standards and even had to pass a rigorous exam before they could become a CFP professional.
They offer financial planning and services that take a more comprehensive view of your financial and personal circumstances and are customized for your needs. Certified financial planner professionals can offer advice on a wide range of issues like reviewing your investment portfolio's allocation, handling an inheritance, rolling over a company retirement plan, building education savings, and so much more.
That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org. I'm guessing that a lot of listeners are starting to solidify their summer travel plans. We always like to get the families together, Matt, for a week at the beach. Every single summer, we've already got that trip to St. Simon's on the calendar. Pumped for that. But sometimes those vacations get expensive. So what better way to offset some of those costs than to have your home earning some money while you're away?
That's right. Why let it sit empty when it could be earning extra income? It's the financially smart thing to do. So think it through. Maybe you've got some extra space in your home, or maybe you have an entire house to host, or maybe you're just going on vacation and your home is sitting empty. In every case, you can Airbnb it. You already have the space, so it won't be a huge adjustment.
I mean, the way I see it, if you're not using your space, you have two options. You can let it just sit there empty, or you do some optimizing and make some money off it. Really, if you think about it, you already have an Airbnb. You just need to start using it. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Let's say you've been listening to the podcast and now you're finally ready to start implementing some of the financial morsels that we're dishing up. Maybe you are trying to save up some more money for a down payment on a house, or maybe there's a big vacation that you have been dying to take. Well, the money app Monarch, they make it so easy to help you to reach your financial goals. That's why the Wall Street Journal, they named it the best app for growing your savings.
Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, track progress toward financial goals, collaborate with your partner even. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/howtomoney. And you won't get spammed either. Monarch features ad-free privacy you can trust. They will never sell your data to third parties or show you ads.
That's right, man. And after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. It just makes sense. It works. And right now, listeners of this show will get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/howtomoney. That's monarchmoney.com/howtomoney for your extended 30-day free trial. Go to monarchmoney.com/howtomoney for an extended 30-day free trial.
All right, we're back from the break, and our favorite new little segment on our Friday flight continues, the ludicrous headline of the week. By the way, for anybody out there listening, if you have a ludicrous headline you saw in the financial news this week, send it our way at howtomoneypod@gmail.com. And sadly, Matt, this week, it's not going to be about Chris Bridges, Ludacris the rapper.
It's not about Ludacris himself.
Last week, we actually got that in.
But I do hope, at least, like, I don't know, a few times a year, I want to be able to cover a story of something that happened with him and his money.
Yeah. Let's hope we can make that happen. Yeah. Maybe we get him on the show one of these days. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, I can ask him some questions about that show he did at UGA back in the day.
And by the way, a lot of people expressed some concern about me last week after they saw the video that was posted. And a lot of people didn't realize that was from 2015. So they thought like my car had literally just been stolen last week. This was a video. It just reminded me of the fact, you know, Ludacris getting his car
stolen.
His
car got stolen. Joel's like, my car got stolen by somebody.
In a similar way, but that was 6 years ago.
Yeah.
So don't worry about me, guys. I'm fine. And by the way, the Ludacris headline of the week this week is, yes, you can buy a car with a credit card and earn tons of points.
Pretty ludicrous.
It caught our eye because, you know, Matt and I were all about maximizing rewards and benefits that you receive by using credit cards. But to purchase a new car with a credit card feels like one step too far. And honestly, right after I read the headline, my next thought was like, can you actually do that?
Yeah. Is that something I can do?
Right. And it turns out you can.
Yeah. And it turns out you can do it without using Plastique. That's a company, you know, we've mentioned on the show multiple times that it's a great way to be able to use your credit card to pay for things where they normally wouldn't accept credit card. But actually, recently we found out that it's not Plastique. It's plastic. There's, I guess, because the Q is on there. We always thought it was Plastique. And it's because we're so uncultured, like we try to find ways to make it seem like we're more cultured and we pronounce things in a funny way. But it's plastic, not Plastique. Little note.
Good to know.
Yeah, so the author of thismoney.com article that we're referring to, he explained how not only can you do this, not only can you buy a car with a credit card, but he's actually done it himself 3 times over the years. It turns out that the trick is to go about the negotiating and to avoid bringing up that you actually want to pay with a credit card until the last second. And so at that point, when you there's the big reveal, and he says that at that point, sales folks, they can taste the deal coming to a close. And so inevitably, they'll check with their manager. And even though it's not something that they normally allow, you know, like they normally would say, you know, on their website, or if you were to ask them straight up, no, we don't do that. Because you're kind of that far along in the process that they will often make an exception for you. And so that's how evidently you go about it. But it does kind of raise some flags. I don't know if there's any like ethical questions here, Joel, but it does make me want to ask like if you think that this is a frugal or a cheap move to do something like this.
That's a good question, because there are a lot of ethical questions when it comes to buying a car from a car dealership, and it's mostly not on the consumer's end, right? And so I think fighting back against unethical practices is being a smart consumer. Although I think this one maybe takes it a step too far. For instance, one of the only ways that you can protect yourself is by actually not revealing some of what you intend to do when it comes to payment method, when it comes to a trade-in or something like that. And until further down the process, they're going to ask you and you're going to have to be like, I don't want to talk about that yet, in order to secure the best deal. And so, yeah, I think he's doing something similar with a credit card, and he's kind of like fighting fire with fire. He's kind of playing their own game with them. And I don't know if this is the tact I would feel comfortable taking, but I can understand, you know, why he chose it.
Right. I mean, in my mind, as long as the auto company, as long as they still have an option, then,
which they do, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they could say,
they could be like, take a walk, kid.
Exactly. And that's the thing. I think you need to be willing to walk away. They might call your bluff, and if you don't stand up and walk away, like if you're not willing to do that, then I don't think you would be actually be able to do this, right? So in my mind, that kind of raises like it seems like it could be a cheap thing on your part if you do actually walk away. Because I mean, I've never myself purchased a car from a dealer, but normally it takes a long time, right?
Yeah, you're like, probably going to be there for a few hours on a Saturday morning trying to get all this stuff wrangled out.
Exactly. And I'm thinking, okay, if I was in that situation, would I be willing to walk away and have wasted hours of precious weekend time? I don't think I would. And yeah. So I think for me, it would seem cheap because of me being cheap to myself. It's just like, man, you're not valuing your own time here just to score those cash back points, you know, on a credit card.
Yep, I'm with you. And I think too, people need to be wary. Like if they do want to attempt this, go for it. I'm okay with that if that's something you feel comfortable doing. But at the same time, make sure if you're buying a car with a credit card that you have the cash in the bank to pay that balance off in full almost immediately, because yeah, you don't want to hurt your credit or to be paying interest on that money in the range of like 18-20% because you put it on a credit card just to score some bonus points. Yeah. That is a bad way to do it, right?
That would be a cheap move.
Yeah, we're not fans of paying any interest to purchase a car, let alone something in that range, right?
Yeah, man, that is right. And actually, speaking of credit cards, even though consumer debt dropped last year by 6%, Americans still have $416 billion in credit card debt as of September of last year. And with credit card debt likely the most expensive debt that folks have, it still needs to be a priority to pay it off if you have some, you know, and better yet, to avoid that debt altogether. We recently talked about the snowball versus the avalanche approach to paying down debt. That was episode 297. But we also have an article up on the site about 0% balance transfer credit cards as well. If you have a plan and you know how it is that you're going to tackle your credit card debt, then a balance transfer card can be an excellent tool for you to, you know, have a period of time where you're not paying any interest while you're, again, getting your financial house in order.
No doubt. All right, let's talk about net worth, Matt. A newer report from the Fed shows us the average net worth by age in the country, and it turns out that the median net worth of someone under the age of 35 is roughly $14,000. And so if you're worth more than that, you're ahead of most folks your age, which is very encouraging.
Yeah.
But then the average net worth is closer to $76,000 if you're under age 35.
Which might be less encouraging. Maybe it would even be discouraging, depending on your situation.
It can be. You're right. And so I think that's why it's not always helpful, actually, to see these numbers, to see how you stack up against millions of other people that you don't know at all, right? But we do think that knowing your net worth in general is actually really important, even if you're not tracking yourself alongside your peers.
Yeah, I mean, generally speaking, we feel it's a good number to be tracking because it's just a good snapshot of your finances that fully takes into account what you own minus what you owe, right? You don't need to be obsessed with checking your, you know, your net worth with this number. But if you visit it periodically, like just maybe even once a year, it does help you to see the kind of progress that you're making towards your larger financial goals, right? Towards paying down debt and building wealth through your investments. We mentioned Mint earlier on this episode, and so that's a great way. Joel, I know that's how you are able to kind of quickly see your net worth. You kind of get that snapshot there. But for other folks as well, check out Personal Capital. I still have my Mint account, even though I think like once every quarter I get an email saying that like, we need to re-verify this bank credentials. Like basically all the connections have slowly kind of been cut and they're wanting me to get back in there and tie everything back together. But more recently, I've actually been more into Personal Capital, which is very similar to Mint as well, with maybe a little bit more of a focus on investing versus maybe, I feel like Mint, they're more heavy on like kind of tracking your expenses and budgeting, whereas Personal Capital, I feel like kind of pushes you more in the direction of investing, showing you how your investments are performing overall. They basically compare your portfolio to, you know, other benchmarks that are out there, like the S&P, like NASDAQ, things like that, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, their net worth tracker is super helpful. It's really good. And we talked more in depth about tracking your net worth and the importance of it back in episode 257, if you want to check that one out. Let's talk about home remodeling projects for a second, Matt. Which ones have the biggest payoff? And I think that's a big question that people have. When you buy a home, you want to make sure that you're not throwing money in that you're never going to get back out of it. And
yeah, like when you decided to carpet your bathroom, I was like, why would you do that, dude? And you're just like, I don't care. I want to do it.
I'm doing this for me, Matt. Okay. But yeah, Home Advisor recently ran the numbers, and the number one renovation that's most likely to pay back is actually, it was surprising, I didn't realize this, replacing your old garage door with a new one. Apparently, that's the number one thing that is going to pay off. You're going to get almost all your money back from doing that job. Minor kitchen remodels and the addition of a deck also rank highly, which makes sense in my mind. In particular, if you're considering throwing out your entire kitchen, think again. Can you make maybe minor improvements to that kitchen instead to increase style and functionality? I think the key word in that is minor kitchen remodels. Because if you're getting into major, you're going to put in a lot more money than you're actually going to get back out. And sometimes I think that's okay, right? If we're planning on being in the house for quite a number of years and we want it to be functional and look the way we want it to look, it's not always all about the payoff. Like, am I going to get my money back? Much of it's about how much enjoyment am I going to derive from making this renovation. But it is important to know that if payback is important and you're not planning on being in that house long term, that maybe going a little more minor with that kitchen reno is going to provide a better payoff.
Yeah, most definitely. And anytime too that you can add some elbow grease and DIY some of the projects, you'll have the opportunity to keep some of your hard-earned money instead of using it to pay contractors. Plus, you have the added benefit of being able to learn a new skill. You know, a lot of our listeners might balk at the idea and think that it's not going to be worth their time because they're like, oh, well, instead of doing that thing, I could just work a little bit more and make, you know, maybe twice of, you know, what it would cost to pay somebody to do it. But it's not just about the money saved. You know, you have the satisfaction gained from the do-it-yourself process itself, you know, and a lot of folks out there are like, I don't, like, where would I even begin? Like, I don't do home improvement stuff, but it's as easy. I mean, you can just start with painting a bathroom, right? Or painting a bedroom. That's not super technical, but you know, you do that a few times and you gain some confidence, you gain some knowledge. And then you're like, you know what? There's always been that one electrical outlet where when you put the plugs in, plugs just fall out because it's been worn down over the years. That's something that you could then tackle next. Just always make sure you cut off the power of the circuit breaker. But over time, you gain confidence and you have the ability to take on more and more complex tasks. I know for me, like I feel like I've been able to increase my skills over the years. And like for us, like the next little sort of DIY project might be an entire bathroom. It's something that I think a lot of people are like, wait, what? That's crazy, dude. But in my case, I really enjoy the process out of it. So not only is it a money saver, but it also gives me the chance to learn a new skill and to have the confidence to be able to tackle any fixes that need to take place, you know, down the road as well.
Yeah, and what you said about maybe I could work a little bit more and then hire someone to do it. You might be underestimating what it costs to bring people into your house and have them do work. Because as we talked about with Ken Russ, like a lot of blue collar workers are making really good money these days.
Plumbers make bank.
Yeah, exactly.
And in the end, like if you think about it, like what is plumbing? It's just fitting pipes together. Like obviously you need to make sure you're doing stuff right, but it's like, look at it. It's like Legos. Like you need to make sure you're doing things correctly. You need to make sure you're doing things to code, but it's not an incredibly complicated task.
Yeah, it's difficult, but it's not rocket science.
Yes.
Yeah. And we always say rocket science. I don't really know what that entails. Maybe that's easy too.
I don't know. I keep seeing like these rockets crash. Like SpaceX's like latest rocket evidently just crashed again. And I was just like, you know, I guess it's really hard to. Yes. It's really hard to do that.
Yeah, I think so. And last thing we wanted to mention too is that we have had some really cold weather lately. We want to take a minute to encourage all the cyclists out there to keep fighting the good fight. Stay on your bikes. You know, Matt and I have been on ours more and more these days as our kids are back in school, picking them up from school. There was a massive bike boom last spring due to COVID and lockdowns, which was amazing from an awareness and infrastructure standpoint. There's a lot of new riders on the streets. And so cities are starting to increase bike infrastructure, new bike lanes. And that's going to provide benefits for months and years to come. But with the colder weather here, you might not see biking as a viable option. But it is. And I would say gloves and cold weather gear goes a long way in helping you stay on the roads. It helps you save money, countless other benefits like exercise too. Matt, I got this one like fleece thing that goes over my neck.
You're literally holding it right now. You just pulled it off your desk.
It's like the greatest thing. It keeps me warm. Like it's better than a scarf. But just really honestly, even just that neck wrap and some gloves, I'd rather have that than a jacket. Like those two things, nice. And it helps you get through the winter being able to continue biking. So best of luck out there to our bike rider listeners.
Yeah. Plus, I've seen you use your neck gaiter too as like a little impromptu mask.
Yes.
Because you have to have the mask at pickup now with the kids. And so I love that it kind of serves a little dual function there for
exactly.
you. Exactly. Yeah. But I'm totally with you. I'm actually really encouraged too by our friend Andrew. He still rides his bike everywhere, even in like 20 or 30 degree weather. And like just recently he rode with his kid like on the bike seat, dude. And he's got a bike from the 80s. Like it's this old 70s or 80s bike. And he rides that thing to the grocery store. It will pick up groceries with his 3-year-old in tow. And so when it's extra cold out there, when I feel like, you know, maybe I don't want a bike, I just think about him. And so if you're out there and you're like, you know what, I haven't touched the bike in the past month or two, it has been a bit colder. We want to encourage you to hop on your bike. And the thing is too, once you get pedaling, it warms you up and it's not nearly as cold as when you first step outside.
That's true.
Just a little bit of encouragement for everyone out there. There's a whole host of benefits that you receive from biking, and it truly isn't just about the money. So that's going to be it for our episode today. Listeners can find all the stories that we mentioned within our show notes, as well as any other helpful links that we mentioned, including past episodes. And you can find all of that at howtomoney.com.
Yeah, and we hope to see you back here Monday. We have an Ask HTM episode where we feature your listener questions, and Matt and I respond. And if you have a financial question burning in your mind, send it our way, and you can go to howtomoney.com/ask for the simple instructions on how you make that happen. So have a great weekend. And Matt, until next time, best friends out.
Best friends out.
Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're really choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers.
Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies.
Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.